Welcome to my show, Return to Shambhala. This is Vicki Goodwin, and today is June the 6th, 2011. This evening I have the pleasure of having David Lewis on the show with me. David is the founder of the Heart Center. He has many talents, including being a wonderful teacher and leader, as he joins forces with the Brotherhood of Light. He's also quite the writer, musician, composer of music, poetry, and he has a most wonderful website with the address being www.theheartcenter.org, and we'll give you that again at a later time. This website is highly interactive on a daily basis. There's something going on every day, and if not one event, there's more than one, two or three, many things going on. David, is there anything that you would like to add to your bio? Anything you'd like to add about yourself and your beautiful activity of Light the Heart Center?
Just that I'm married to a wonderful woman named Mona, and I have three children.
That's right.
I'm one of 10 children. I grew up in the Chicago area, and I've been on a spiritual journey virtually my whole life. And basically, I just consider myself a servant. And we talk about leaders, but I think that my role, my mission is to be a servant. So.
Well, you're one of these wonderful people that you are most definitely walking your talk. You have, I've never met your wife, but I've met your daughter, and she's wonderful. I've attended a few of your activities in person, but I'm usually on the internet at least every day if I can make it. It's just a wonderful way to connect. I named my show Return to Shambhala because for me the word Shambhala was a trigger. It was a key code for me in discovering who I really am. I learned about my I Am presence through that word Shambhala. Would you like to share your wisdom with the listeners about what Shambhala is, who's there, when, what, where, how about Shambhala?
Sure. As I understand it from my own reading of esoteric literature, Shambhala was and is a special etheric place on our earth where Gautama Buddha and Sanatkumara came in order to save the earth during an age when the earth had declined in its radiant field of light because of mankind's inhumanity to man. And there were a number of what we call golden ages before Shambhala really came into existence, where the earth was in a pristine state. And unfortunately, during the fourth epoch, or the fourth age, or what we call the root race, mankind fell and got to the state where people forgot their source. They forgot their connection with the great God reality of all that is. And so the earth was going to be destroyed. And a being of light on the planet Venus, which at that time had risen in consciousness to a very high level of spiritual attainment, decided to offer himself to help to stabilize the earth so that the evolutions of earth could awaken and be quickened again, and the earth would not be destroyed. So when he came with an entourage of light bearers, 144,000, they kind of alighted upon this beautiful land that was Shambhala, and a beautiful crystal city was built by devotees who prepared the way for Sanatkumara. And in this glorious place that was like an Eden, like a paradise, these beings came and did spiritual work in order to assist the life streams on Earth. Now, this was more in an etheric type of world, more rarefied or refined than we are aware of and that we live in today. And the evolutions that came were very conscious, they were very loving, and they came to serve. They were basically bodhisattvas. And so Shambhala represents all that is good, all that is beautiful, all that is holy and divine, and it's emblematic of what we are co-creating now upon Earth to return Earth to its pristine state of beauty and glory. And we can all meditate upon Shambhala. We can go there in our souls or our finer bodies as we meditate. We can engage higher beings of light and this beautiful alchemy of the spirit, whereby together we recreate our world in a beautiful image of glory. And I believe that many, many conscious people who are awakening today are realizing that we have this ability because we are all sons and daughters of God. We are all God. And when we awaken to this inner Shambhala, which is really a sacred space of light within our hearts, then together as a world community, we can quicken this earth into its natal divine estate of beauty and perfection. And so people are awakening everywhere, and your listeners are many of these people, because just by listening to what you're sharing and the people that you interview and the sharings that occur, people are having those aha experiences. They're feeling the impulses of higher consciousness and the solar rays that are descending to the earth and that are emanating from within us, that are quickening all of us. And we're moving into a new field of beingness and awareness that's beautiful. And so Shambhala really represents all of the highest and the best of Earth's prior epochs and what is coming to the fore now and in the future as a great golden crystal age.
That is so beautiful. And I see this, as you're saying, manifesting in so many ways. There's a young group, a trio of Italian singers, boys, who have taken America by storm with their song, O Sole Mio. It was the number one song for iPod last week. It's just selling out like crazy, and they're also making an album in Spanish that should be a great hit. But their album in Italy went platinum not too long ago, and it's this beautiful, you know, O Sole Mio and all these beautiful songs. So, you know, I think the music of the music that I'm not too crazy about, the rap and this kind of thing, is going to go, and it's being replaced already by these young Italian boys. That's just one little example of what I'm seeing as the days go on.
I recently received an email introducing me to them, and I listened, and oh my gosh, my whole body was vibrating.
I know.
So as I listened to these young men singing, I mean, I think they're somewhere between 18 and 22 years old, all of them, and the richness of their voices is just awesome. And I'm so grateful that they're doing what they're doing, because they, as a whole, they have beautiful, beautiful music.
They do. And they're a great example for young people of that generation, that it's okay to make this beautiful music. It's not uncool or whatever. It's very beautiful. And people are just falling in love with this group. Is there anything else? I kind of wanted to ask about Shambhala. Does it... I went to the Gobi Desert with Norma Milanovic in search of Shambhala. And I had a very beautiful experience there in the desert. After that, I heard that, I think it was through Elizabeth Clare, that Shambhala, it's also stationed in the United States, in the Rocky Mountains. Is that true? Have you heard that?
Well, there's what's called a Western Shambhala. And
okay.
I believe that there are special, what we call retreats, or etheric paradises, or crystal cities of light in the heaven world, in the etheric plane, where various masterful beings hold counsel, and they have beautiful temples of light, and actually entire cities, where our souls travel at night, and we learn higher spiritual truths and teachings. And all of us can learn to consciously leave our body when we retire at night and retain the memory of some of these experiences. And many times, people who are on a spiritual path will have memories of some of these divine and glorious experiences. So what happens is, where people gather upon the earth and do great spiritual work together in communities of light, I believe that above those places are formed in the heaven world new crystal temples and new retreats of the universal brotherhood of light. And when these are created, the masters come and they hold these beautiful sessions. And so I believe that there has been a transfer at an etheric level of awareness to the West, an aspect of Shambhala into the Rocky Mountains in Montana, very near where I live, and that there's a special vibration, there's a special awareness, and kind of a radiance of light that you can feel, and that clairvoyance can actually see vibrating in the etheric plane in this area. And so there are many, many conscious people who come here and are engaged in all manner of spiritual paths, all looking toward the one, and kind of a uniting of our hearts and our spiritual forces so that we can move into the Golden Crystal Age. So even though Shambhala still exists over the Gobi Sea, and Gautama Buddha appears there every Wesak, along with appearing in the Himalayas in another location, because he can simultaneously precipitate a light body anywhere, so many masters come to the Western Shambhala and give discourse, give teaching. And I believe that I'm a part of kind of this dispensation, and I'm carrying forward that aspect of the work of the Ascended Masters and the Hosts of the Light for this time in Earth history. So Shambhala is very unique in one sense, being a great, great city of light and one of the original, if not the original, retreat of the Ascended Masters on the Earth. And likewise, many others have been formed in the heaven world, where the Chohans of the race and the archangels and even the Elohim, who are great cosmic beings, have these sacred centers of light that actually stabilize the earth by their light energy. They create a grid and a network of light in the higher world to assist the earth itself and preparing for this great investiture that's manifesting as we move into 2012 and beyond.
Yes, Exactly. I live in Tucson, Arizona, and above Mount Lemmon is John the Beloved's temple, the temple for the reverence of all life. And I just love Tucson. I think it's because of that temple of light that is over my city. And I know that I'm involved once a month with Patricia Diane Cota Robles. She has a show also on BBS Radio. And one of the activities that we did, especially during the election, was we asked that when the politicians sleep at night and they go into the temples, like the Temple for Reverence of All Life, that they, when they come back, when they wake up in the morning, that they remember what they were taught and they implement these ideas into the government. A lot of people criticize the government, and I don't think they really understand what's going on, that we're all trying to make things better. We're trying to make for a better world, and to constantly criticize politicians, presidents, and governors, and it's not of any help, but to ask that they remember what they're learning spiritually in the temples. What would you say about that?
Well, I think it's great. I think it's always best to be positive, to be supportive, and to pray for our leaders. And we chose our leaders, by and large. We voted for them, and we put them into office. And so instead of tearing people down constantly, why, you know, try praying for them. Try
right.
to hold what we call the Immaculate Concept or a higher vision for them. And I believe that if enough people do this collectively, we can actually influence our leaders to make the highest decisions. We can get rid of this gridlock and the kind of the dual nature of what happens in Washington and move into a more unified understanding of our common heritage, our common vision for a bright future, and move beyond all the doom and gloom prophecies of the economy into a new way of light. So it's going to take many conscious people working together through many light groups, many activities of the Brotherhood, and all manner of the ways that various spiritual leaders convey their teachings. And there are many, many conscious, beautiful overshadowed individuals who have the ability to inspire people through their discourses, through their teachings, their books. And we see just a plethora across the earth of these individuals coming forth, like Eckhart Tolle and Wayne Dyer and Michael Beckwith in Los Angeles, and you mentioned Patricia Cota Robles and others who really are conscious, are awakened, and move in a stream of higher awareness to inspire people to be all that they truly are, which is their higher self.
Yes, most definitely. David, there's Lisa's on the line. Are you open to taking a call, a question?
Sure.
Okay. Seth, you want to put Lisa on the line? It seems like I forgot how to click in. Seth? Well, I guess she's not there right now. Okay, sorry. If she'd like to call back, that's great. We were just talking about the praying for the people, the leaders of the planet. There's another doom and gloom information that goes around about all the world is going to end, and yeah, we see there's just been a volcano eruption in Chile, and there was one in Mexico City. It didn't really erupt, but it threw ash up into the air. There's floods, tornadoes, earthquakes. And many people, they just wring their hands and say, oh, woe is me, there's nothing I can do. But I believe there are many things that we can do to, these changes are going to happen, but we can do some things to make them not as devastating. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I believe that we can affect change on the earth and transmutation by our intent, by our focus, and by our conscious will, especially when we work together in larger groups.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the Heart Center movement, we hold daily vigils, and we pray, and we have centers all over the United States and the world, and we broadcast prayer sessions for 2.5 hours in the morning, and then also in the evening, different groups participate in that. And one of the key things that we do is the violet light prayers, meditations, and decrees and songs. And a decree is like a powerful prayer of an affirmation that's very focused. So the violet light is the highest frequency on the physical spectrum of the 7 rays. And the violet light transmutes karma and darkness into perfection. Saint Germain, who's a great master that many of us know, released the information about the violet light back in the late 20s through Godfrey Ray King, or Guy Ballard, who founded the Saint Germain Foundation, the I Am movement. And I Am students throughout the world have given mantras, prayers, decrees, songs now for decades to mitigate the effects of planetary karma, what is coming due to mankind because of our past transgressions. And so together, when we employ this beautiful scientific alchemical key of the violet light, we truly can change the destiny of ourselves, our communities, our cities, our nations, and the earth as a whole. And so prophecy is there as a warning. What we can do is learn from the past and grow, and hopefully not repeat the errors of the past, but work to transmute and to consume the cause-effect record and memory of what could be coming due and enlighten people. So the key to me, besides the use of the violet light, is enlightenment and education and ongoing commitment to teaching people a higher way of life. And we have Mayer University, and we do this regularly in sessions every Sunday morning for about 2 hours, virtually every Sunday. We just wrapped up a class on advanced alchemy. We recently had 2 classes on the advanced studies of the human aura and how we can expand our auric field with the light of our, what we call our solar presence, to affect planetary change. So when we see these rumblings within the earth and the prophets, the dire prophecies and predictions, it's time for us to go within, make contact with our true self, our God presence, our great I Am that I Am, and move into a new field of beingness to bless and to pray for all life, so that people can move beyond their unconscious choices into a greater awareness of an understanding of the new age, what it will take collectively for the entire earth to have this age of enlightenment and freedom. And when we do this in greater groups, the power of the multiplication of our joint energies is awesome. And you feel the current of light just streaming through your being, your chakras lit up, your auric fields just glowing, and it's amazing to see this happen in our larger groups, especially at our events around the solstices and the equinoxes and at other times that we gather in our sacred circles of light. We also, in the Heart Center Movement, conduct an annual pilgrimage somewhere upon Earth to special places. Now, this year, we're going to Ghana, which is the heart chakra of Africa, in late October, early November, and we're going to do a lot of spiritual work there. I went to Chile, and we were there with over 30 people during the time that the miners were released. We were actually doing our prayers, and we arrived before they had all started coming out. We did our prayer work, and while we were there, all 33 miners were released, mostly Chileans, and one Bolivian.
I remember that.
Yeah, and then next year, we're all going to Lake Titicaca, and we're going to be there on December 21st at the Great Shift. The very day that the Great Shift is occurring, where our sun and our solar system is aligned with the galactic core. So that's a very, very special day. We're planning to go to Peru and see the great sites there before we go to Bolivia at Lake Titicaca.
That's fantastic. I want to go to Lake Titicaca. The company that I've signed on to, I do therapy for them. They're wanting me to go to Ghana and do some training there. So I might do that this year. I might see you in Ghana.
Wonderful.
Matter of fact, yeah, I might. We'll already be there, but I can join you at that time. You mentioned Saint Germain and Portia and the violet light. Now, another aspect of working with the earth changes is working with the elemental beings, which most people don't seem to know about. The Native Americans, I live in Tucson, so they talk about the earth, sky, and water, the four corners, the four directions, I mean. And but a lot of people don't know about the beloved elementals, and they're there for us. And a lot of people don't realize how powerful they are and how we can work with them. Could you talk about this some?
Sure. David? The elementals are beautiful, beautiful nature spirits. And the four cosmic forces, which are great, powerful conglomerate energies, overshine the entire elemental kingdom and nature, earth, air, fire, water. So we have, in the etheric plane, the fire elementals are the salamanders, and the mental quadrant, the air quadrant, we have the beautiful sylphs, and the water quadrant, the emotional plane, we have the beautiful undines, and then in the physical plane, the earth body, we have a very, very precious gnome, and so of course they include the leprechauns and elves and these tiny, tiny little guys that are really funny and they work in the nature kingdom to provide the platform for our evolution. They overshadow all of the growth of the flora across the earth, and of course the devas, who are like the supervisors of all of these kingdoms, are awesome beings to behold, who have great light energies flowing through them to kind of keep everything together and in order and according to the cosmic cycles that flow through the sun and configuration with the earth, the stars, the planets, etc. So the elementals are wonderful creatures who have consciousness, and they do not understand why humanity doesn't respect nature the way it should, like the native peoples did, who had an intimate conversation with, communion with, and interaction with the earth itself, which is alive. Mother Earth is a live being. And, of course, we have to return to first principles of an understanding of our deep connection with all of nature and with the earth. And when we do this, we will respect all nature. We won't try to dominate nature to the exclusion of nature and the elementals' own lives and their and the balance and harmony within nature. We will work with them. We will talk to them. We will ask them questions and and for guidance, because they're very wise. They've been around longer than, you know, we have. So the elementals are just these beautiful creatures. They embody within the animals. So, for instance, dogs are just so loving to humanity, and many of the creatures of the earth are just awesome. Dolphins, whales, they have great consciousness. And, of course, I love birds, and we have in our backyard about 5 different bird feeders, and we just love to watch the birds come, and we just, you know, we just adore them, and they're so gentle, so sweet. So when we work with nature, we enter into gardening and organic farming and use biodynamic principles, and we understand that nature is sensitive and that we have to always respect 7 generations into the future, like the native people did, the life that's all around us, so that our decisions are always work toward the best of all peoples and all, and the earth itself. And we are, you know, we work through integrity to honor what has existed before us and what will exist after us. All of these things are important. There's a huge movement now for local food, for growing your own food, for supporting local farmers and ranchers and gardening. And my wife teaches permaculture. And part of what, you know, we've been working on the last few weeks in our home is getting our gardens going. And it's really important that every conscious person, every spiritual person, grow as much of their own food, fresh food, organic food as possible. Eat live, solar charged food from the earth, from trees, from, you know, especially right in your own environment. This will help you to retain more light in your being, in your aura. This will help you to have greater conscious awareness and to have higher impulses that move through your being, because your body temple is clear and you don't have the encumbrance of heavy toxic chemicals and substances through the food that unfortunately is prepared through much of the monoculture of today, or that's shipped in from, you know, across the world somewhere, you know, far away, and it's unripe, and then they gas it or they do things to make it look good.
Right.
So all of this is really important.
I know for me, I'm not growing food, but I have flowers everywhere and trees in the desert. And I go out and I just feel so connected with the elementals. We talk and I compliment them and tell them how beautiful everything looks and how do they do it in this dry desert, Tucson. But they do it, and it's amazing. And pretty soon the rains will come to Tucson and everything will be really green and beautiful for a few months anyway.
That's wonderful. Well, our New Year's event is in Arizona. We're going to be further away. We're going to be near Phoenix, and there's a wonderful lady named, I think it's Cynthia Athena Kemp Shearer. She has a wonderful book, and it's The Alchemy of the Desert. And I highly recommend it for those of you who live in Tucson or in the Southwest, because she's done this awesome work of communing with the plants of the desert and the flowers, and lovingly extracting the essence from those flowers through water, not through alcohol, but through water, in order to allow the higher essences, the enlightened energies of the plants, to benefit us. It's kind of it's just totally awesome, and it's a beautiful science, and she's truly a messenger for these desert plants, and she's just a wonderful being. She's going to be with us again at our New Year's event near Phoenix.
Oh, great. That'll be good. The weather's so nice there that time of year, so we'll have a nice conference, I know. You mentioned that I loved the Advanced Alchemy course that just finished up Sunday. That was wonderful. I can't wait to write my essay on the form. But you pointed out that Jesus was also working with the elementals. He could calm the storms and all of that. Would you like to talk about that again? I thought that was so beautiful what you brought up about him and his close connection with the elementals.
Yes, when he was young, Jesus, communed with me as I communed with him, and he shared with me how his mother, Mary, was so connected with everything, and they had gardens back in those days, and people did grow a lot of food, in the older days, and so he learned to have a deep connection with nature and with the elementals, and he actually had inner vision and could see them. And they would tell him their secrets. And because of his deep connection with the elementals, they loved him. They obeyed him. And so, naturally, when he was older, because he had had such a deep connection with them from an early age, when he said, "Peace, be still," of course, the storm stopped. He could do whatever he desired with the elementals because they just loved him. And he said at one point, even if the stones, you suppress this, the stones will cry out. Well, that was indicative of the elementals. In other words, he had such a deep reverence for life that life itself revered him in turn and responded to his effulgent heart, his beautiful mind, his crystal clear consciousness, and the forgiving touch and the radiant joy that he extended to all life. So, of course, when we are like that, like Saint Francis, the elementals do respond. They don't feel the harsh energies of those who eat meat or heavy, who kill for food. They love those who are vegetarian and who honor the integrity of all life. And so they feel that respect oozing from the auras of those who are loving and kind, and then they often will appear to the humble of heart like little children, and to those who are very pure, they respond. And so Jesus, retaining this purity of his heart for his entire life, had this natural connection with and a sacred life amongst the elemental kingdom.
That is so beautiful. I know once I went with Drumvalo Melchizedek to Mexico City, and we were doing an experiment. We went out to a temple. It was a round temple outside of Mexico City. It was a group of about 30-something people. And it was very polluted that day. The air was just still how Mexico City can be. It's just totally brown, the sky. And we formed a circle and we did a meditation that Drumvalo had taught us, and just like a Fibonacci spiral, the pollution just spiraled right away, and so that the whole area there in the park by the temple was clear, perfectly clear, and there was a little rain to kind of clear the air even further. But when we got on the bus and we left, it folded back in. The pollution came right back in. But it just showed me how the elementals can take the pollution right out of the air with just our calls. It's amazing, but yet it's not. It's a natural way of working with the elementals.
Yeah, I gave a talk once at the Bodhi Tree Bookstore in California, in the Los Angeles area, and it's probably the largest New Age store in all of North America. It's just awesome. And we did an experiment, and we just did violet fire mantras together for like 7 minutes. Well, even though it wasn't predicted, it rained almost immediately. And it cleared the air, and the next morning I went out for a run or a jog. The entire sky of L.A. was clear.
Oh, gosh, that's, and see?
So just a few conscious people who have pure hearts and an intention and a will by making their connection with Source can affect change instantaneously. And, of course, it helps to have a masterful being in the middle who can hold that focus and retain the vision of that perfection. And that's what a true master does.
There's a caller on the line. Would you like to go ahead, caller? I think your name is Vicky.
Yes, how are you?
Good, how are you? Do you have a question for David?
Sure, or you. I actually spoke to you for the first time about a couple weeks ago, and just wanted to kind of like follow up with the tell you what's going on, but...
Oh, you know what? I'm not that Vicky. I'm another Vicky. That's V-I-K-K-I.
Oh, yeah.
It's another Vicky. She'll be on the show. We share this time together. So she'll be on next week. Okay.
Oh, okay. Her name is Victoria, I think. Now I'm looking at the site. Right?
Yes.
Oh, her name is Vicky as well.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right.
Okay,
that's funny that we
question.
Both are Vicky and we share that same slot. That's... I don't want to go on and on about myself, but I just want people to know that we can affect change. And just little me and my son, when he was a surfer, we lived in North Carolina, and I had taken him out to Hatteras Island for a little surf trip. And there was a hurricane coming, and they were moving the lighthouse inland on railroad tracks because the sand was diminishing, and they were afraid the lighthouse would topple over, so that they were in the process of doing that. But what my son and I did is we rode up and down the road along Hatteras Island, and we did prayers. This was back in the 90s for the hurricane to do what it had to do, but not be too devastating. And the hurricane came, and we went back to Greenville where we lived. And the news the next day after the hurricane had hit was that there had been an expanded amount of sand of beach that had appeared on Hatteras. And I called the hotel where we had been staying, and they said it was their beach was almost gone, and the beach had returned. They had a beach now in front of their hotels. And that's before I knew about Saint Germain and the Violet Flame. That was just kind of, you know, my beginnings to working with the elementals. I had a little copper thing by Slim Sperling. I don't know if you know him or not, but he has these little things, and I believe the elementals connect with those. They're kind of Yeah, I don't use anything like that anymore. It's not necessary. But at the time, it seemed to have paid off.
Great. A lot of these children coming in now, as we know, we've heard of the indigo children, the crystal children, and they are very conscious.
Uh-huh.
They have a deep connection with their presence with the all, the universe. And they have great wisdom, and we just have to help facilitate the natural unfoldment of their inner gifts of spirit, rather than trying to regiment them into some system of education that tears away their genius, their inner divine nature. So it's really important that we have good teachers who can draw out from the children their wonderful beauty and grace and the harmony that already exists there, without traumatizing them through the systems of education that are pretty much the way of the public sector today. So my children have all gone to private schools because I just feel that there's a little more opportunity there for an investment of a little more conscious application of the higher way of teaching. And
right.
So it's really important that we provide the impetus and the resources for our children to really unfold and to grow according to their own inner divinity and the flowering of their natural abilities. So I'm really heartened to hear about your wonderful son and what he did with you in that alchemy.
Yeah, yes. He's quite the believer. You know, I was with you on Valentine's Day in California, where you talked about our body elemental. Do you remember that teaching that was so beautiful about the body elemental? I don't think, I mean, people know about their guardian angels and their I am presence, but I'm wondering how many people realize that they have their own body elemental that works with them. And would you like to speak to that, David?
Yeah, our body elemental is like a miniature us when we were like 4 or 5 years old. And the body elemental is very concerned about our health and well-being and is always attempting to get through to us to care for our body, which is a temple of the Holy Spirit and the Great Spirit. And so the body elemental, when we work with it and understand that he or she, because it's like this miniature us, is involved in everything that we do, that we can get enough rest, we can take care of ourselves through drinking enough pure, unadulterated water, breathing in fresh air, eating properly, and exercising properly, all of these things, and especially getting enough sunshine, which is really important, especially in the northern climate. All of these things are really important for our body elemental to feel valued, appreciated, and cherished, so that he or she also works within our body temple to kind of have that intelligence that regulates all the systems within our body that provide for us this beautiful opportunity to live as a conscious being on this earth. So when we honor our body elemental and eat what's appropriate and not overeat or eat too many sweets or things that we know that we really shouldn't, the body elemental is joyous and happy and jumps up and down and is youthful and keeps us youthful. And of course, if we ignore our body elemental and the inner impulses from within us, then sometimes we get tired, lethargic, and we get grumpy, or you know, we're in the lower vibrations through the cycles of our biorhythms that you know we have to watch out. So it's really important that we give appreciation to all the elementals, including our body elemental. Show them how much we care for them. I won't say appease them, but please them. Please them by right choices and by honoring their very, very treasured little inklings that they share with us of how we can maintain perfect health and well-being. It's kind of like a guardian angel for our body that's involved in our health and well-being, and instead of just our kind of our mission and our divine plan. So the body elemental is, if you have a picture of yourself when you were 4 or 5, you can keep that, you know, at your desk, by your computer, and talk to yourself.
Oh, that's a great idea. I like that.
And just love, just send love and appreciation to your body elemental.
Let's see, it's 6:51. David, is there anything, we have the 4th of July, we have the World Freedom Conference coming up.
We're going to a beautiful place called the Villa Maria. It's about 90 minutes as you drive from the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul, south, very near the Mississippi River. It's a retreat, and we're having a 5-day event, July 1 through 5. And then latter part of the 5th and all day of the 6th, we're having a Mayer University course with Saint Germain on using Shakespeare as a mode for an understanding of a higher path of higher consciousness. So this World Freedom Conference is going to be awesome. It's it's in Frontenac, Minnesota. And on our website, right on the front page, there's a little section called Upcoming Events and Mayer University Courses. So that will be really wonderful. And the course is called Midsummer Nights and Ladies Dream, the Drama, Dance, and Song of the Shakespearean Adept. So that's the 5th and 6th. And the World Freedom Conference, we're going to have people from all over the world, from South Africa, from Sweden, from South America. And we're going to, there's a lot of sharing goes on. We spend a lot of time in nature. We go on hikes. We laugh and sing together. This one's called A New Alchemy of Divine Love for Aquarius, a celebration of spirit, the drama, song, and dance. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and you can register on our website. And if you can't come physically, you can attend online and see it on video streaming or audio streaming, either one. And we invite anyone to participate in and join us.
There's just so much going on with the Heart Center. The Heart Center.org. I highly recommend you visit there and get involved. It's fantastic. There's another Father's Day event coming up with Master Kuthumi on Father's Day, right?
Yeah,
and that's all on the website.
On the 19th. And it's on kindness the whole day. It's a 5-hour event, 2.5 hours in the morning, 2.5 in the afternoon. And there is a prerequisite for that, and it has you have to take Lord Maitreya's class, which was given in January.
Oh, okay.
However, you can still take that class. It's $50 for both of them, for each one. And so on Father's Day from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. with an hour lunch intermission, we're going to have this Kuthumi on Kindness, an intimate day of communion with the world teacher. So with Jesus, Kuthumi is a world teacher along with the master Omram Mikhail Ivanov. So I'm really looking forward to this. Kuthumi shared with me what he desires to release, and it's just, I'm just so excited about this. He's such a beautiful, conscious master who has so much compassion and loving kindness in his aura, in his heart, and it's going to be just a fantastic day.
Yes, I'm sure. There's something else that you're doing. It's almost monumental, the World Prayer Gathering. That I don't know that anybody's really done that, where everybody's online and everybody is saying prayers from different places in the world.
On one Saturday a month, we have a free broadcast, and we have people from all over the world. We've had people, in Spanish, in Spain, and from Chile, people from South Africa talking in Zulu and in other languages. And so people prepare a prayer in advance, and then we all gather together on Skype, and it's facilitated by our director of operations, Boyd Batten, who is a master of technology. And
yes,
it's beautiful because we have people
in
like 3, 4, 5 continents, and we're trying to get people from Asia and Australia to join us. The time zone is a little bit of an issue, but we've had Europe, Africa, North and South America so far. And it's just really exciting to feel the connection with everybody.
It is. I've done things before, but there you can't hear anybody. You know that you're there, that you're in a virtual meditation together, but you're not actually hearing the people or Skyping in. And I think it's monumental. I don't think anyone's ever done it before. Maybe they have, but I haven't been involved. And I'm just very blessed to be able to be a part of that gathering. I think we are just about out of time. Is there anything else, David, that you would like to say?
Well, I'd just like to open my heart to each and every one of your listeners and to say that we love you. And if you resonate with anything that's been shared tonight, feel free to check us out. We don't have membership per se in our movement. It's open and free. We really respect each individual's path, spiritual path in their journey. We simply desire to be world servants and to pray. And if anybody has a prayer request, we have a circle of people that will pray for anyone who requires prayers or would like some loving thoughts and you know, meditation sent their way. We have so many opportunities for being engaged and participating in a number of teams, and we just desire to share with you our way of conscious living and our way of helping to bring in the great golden crystal age of Aquarius, which is manifesting in our consciousness now, we believe, and we're bringing it to the fore, shining our light, and always joyous in the process.
Well, that is so beautiful. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I've enjoyed this show so much, and I can't wait to hear it on the archive.
Okay.
And when we get,
thank you,
we get that. Thank you, David.
Your name is wonderful. Have a good win.
And a victory.
Yeah.
Thank you. Listeners, the music that precedes and concludes this show is provided by paradisemusic.us.com. If you would like to purchase this music, it's very beautiful. That's paradisemusic.us.com. And I guess that's it for tonight. I will be back in 2 weeks with another guest. I hope you'll join me then. And until then, thank you so much for being here on the show,